Today on Real Radio.
Nobody knows how the church in Rome ever got started. We don't know this to this very day. Now, I don't want to upset anybody when I tell you this, but I'm telling you the gospel truth and historical fact. You might say, Jack, are you a knucklehead? The Catholic Church started the church at Rome. That's not true. Peter did. That's not true. Paul was the first apostle to show up. Peter came after Paul. But a church was already established. Not only that, there were several churches established, and they were strong and healthy. It wasn't established by Peter. It wasn't established by Paul, Peter, Paul, or Mary. It wasn't established by any of them. And I don't say that to upset you. It's just a fact. To this day, historians and Christian theologians do not know how the church in Rome ever got started. It's possible that on the day of Pentecost, people went back to Rome and were converted and brought the gospel to that area. We don't know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins the very last presentation of his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. The final chapter of this account, chapter 28, also tells us about the final chapter of Paul's life here on the earth. What we are told is quite brief, but gives us enough insight into what we can use to apply to our lives as believers in Jesus. For quite some time, Paul wished to go to Rome, though he likely didn't know that his eventual journey there would end with his execution. Let's learn what the apostle to the Gentiles did for the final 2 years of his life on earth in this presentation called From Rome to Home. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
If you're taking notes this morning, you might want to jot down several points and certainly the title of the message this morning. And the title of the message is From Rome to Home. As you can tell, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out the title. But it's actually very much applicable. Paul, of course, his life now coming to an end, so to speak. He will arrive in Rome, and it is during his Roman imprisonment that he will eventually, several years from this time, he will eventually die. For being a Christian, he will lose his head. They will take him to the block, and the executioner will lower the sword and cut his head off from his shoulders. And that brilliant mind that Gamaliel had taught, instructed, and brought Paul along, this brilliant man who knew several languages, no doubt, but has such a grasp on just so many things, will die the death of a Christian martyr. And the result is to inherit heaven. Not a bad deal, I guess. So, as we look at this, it's rather lengthy, so we're going to jump right into the various points, and I'm going to ask you in note-taking to jot down right now, in verses 11 to 16, we see the first point, and that is Paul's journey reaches his destination. God saw him all the way through to the end. And God's going to see you all the way through to the end. As we get into this morning, I hope that you project yourself into the story. I hope you see yourself maybe experiencing things in life that you can relate to Paul with. And the very promises and the very commitment that God has made to Paul, he has also made to you. Even though you and I are not an apostle, even though you and I are not a Paul. But we want to have a little brief moment of introduction, and that is, as we come to the close of this, we need to remember that these verses in this chapter conclude a 30-year burden that Paul had on his heart to take the gospel to Rome. He had been saved and been ministering a little over 30 years. His desire was to go to Rome. Many times in his writings, he had said, oh, I'll meet you in Rome, or I'll come to Rome shortly, God willing, but I'll see you in Rome. He had a very, very strong drive to meet up with the believers there in Rome. Also this, that the Bible teaches us, as Paul will soon realize, As believers, the Bible tells us that all of us as Christians will be judged. Now listen carefully. We will be judged, according to the Bible, regarding our works toward Christ. Did we serve the Lord? And what we did for the Lord, was it the right motive or not? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells us there, beginning at verse 11, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that there's no other foundation that any one of us can lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We've done that if we're believers this morning. But on top of that, what do? He says, now if anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, or precious stones, he's not talking about earthly things, he's talking about purity of intent and of motive. Also this, if anyone builds wood, hay, or stubble, each one's works will be made clear in the day. That day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one of our works of whatever sort it is. And what he's talking about, for 30 years Paul ministering, coming to the close, so you and I will come to the close of our lives. And God is literally going to stand you out, and he's going to judge you according to your motive as a Christian. It has nothing to do with salvation, people. It has nothing to do with you getting in or out of heaven. You're in there. It has to do, and I don't know, I'm just going to be happy to be there, but it has to do with rewards. He's going to actually reward us for what we've done in his name with the proper motive. Now, just because Billy Graham has preached the gospel to more people than any person in human history doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get all the rewards. Motive means everything. There could be some little grandma somewhere in Pocatello that's been praying all her life, and we don't even know who she is, and God is going to lavish her with reward. But there will be those who have served Christ, but they've done it for attention. They've done it maybe for their own glory, or they've kind of looked out for themselves. And they may be thinking, oh boy, here comes the judgment seat of Christ. The word is Bema, B-E-M-A. It's the Olympic reward seat, the three-tiered Olympic gold, bronze, or silver. Everybody gets a reward, but some get a gold and some get a bronze. And so this guy might be thinking, oh boy, I'm going to stand there and get my reward. And the Lord's going to say, well, here's a jelly bean, and you know, go over there and well, what do you mean, man? I did all these things. Well, I know, but you know what? You were really taking all the glory for it, and just go sit over there and you'll be all right, you know. The motive means everything. Paul was consumed with the glory of God. He had seen the glory of God supernaturally revealed to him, and he wanted to express that and made sure always in his ministry that God got the glory. And so we need to remember that as we close up this book. Verses 11 to 16, Paul reaches his final destination. It says right here, beginning at verse 11, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island of Malta. That's where they're leaving from. We saw them last week. So now they get on this ship. Look, it's an Alexandrian ship again, meaning it's a very large ship like the one they broke up on, and it is carrying grain, and it's heading to Rome. And after 3 months of weathering the storms on Malta, they now get on board a ship, and this is rather funny. Why does the Holy Spirit, working through Luke, mention to us in verse 11 that it's got this figurehead of the twin brothers? Well, the twin brothers, first of all, are, according to Greek mythology, the two twin sons of Zeus or Jupiter. And they were the gods to intercede for sailors to guarantee safe sailing. So this is pretty funny. Luke, of course, not being a pagan and a non-believer, Luke makes mention to us that it happens to be a ship with the twin brothers engraved on the front of the ship. You guys have all been to Pirates of the Caribbean, have you? You know, when you're going through there in that ship, they're firing the cannons back and forth, and there's a lady on the front of the ship. Same thing with these twin brothers. And these guys are there, and they're mounted on the front, and no doubt these guys are getting on the ship, some at least 267 of these guys. And they look, and they say, oh, look, there's Castor and Pollux, the twin brothers. Oh, that's great. And while they're getting on, they're thinking, oh, boy, we got blessings, you know, from our gods. And Luke just happens to make mention of it. Well, you know, the ship has got these two guys engraved on the front. I find that kind of funny, because there's people running around today, and a lot of people saying to themselves, oh my goodness, a black cat crossed in front of us. Turn around and drive around the block. No way, keep going. Oh, did you walk underneath that ladder? Yeah, I'll walk underneath it again too. Today's Friday the 13th. My daughter was born on Friday the 13th. God blessed us. Oh my gosh, oh poor child. No, that's pagan ignorance. That's sick. We don't have to live like that. God has given us a whole new life. We don't have to live by the whims and strange quirks of men. Paul just makes note of it. Paul must have gotten on there just, oh brother, rolled his eyes. Gets on board the ship, and they begin to set sail, and they're off on their way now. And it says in verse 12, landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days, and from there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew or began to blow, and the next day we came to Potolio. This is an interesting event that takes place here. Verse 14, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went in or took off toward Rome. Listen, verse 15, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appia, or some of your Bibles say Appius. Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. A couple of words I want to point out to you. First of all, this seaport of Puteoli, or however you want to pronounce it, has got to be Italian, so I don't know if I'm saying it right. But we're talking about, think of the nation, the country of Italy, and the boot, you know the boot end? And then there's Sicily right on the end, like the boot is kicking Sicily. This port would be right at the end of the toe, right on the end of the boot. And it was a port that was specifically used to receive great freighters. It was a very deep harbor. And so as they would pull into this place, it was a massive and very influential port. By the way, this port is on the Bay of Naples. And so as they're there, Rome had its merchant services there. They would bring these ships in and unload them and carry the items throughout all of Rome and all of Italy. And so they're coming into port. And you got to be thinking about this in Paul's mind. I don't know how you are. Have you ever maybe been in love with a place or a people or something to where it's really driving your heart? Paul had never been to Rome before, ever. And he's longing all of his Christian life to go to Rome. So can you imagine? Remember, he's a little short guy. He can't see very good. We know this from history. He might be looking. Can you see the shore? Can you see anything? Can you see something? Then they land, and then they get on their way, and they're miles from Rome. They're about 128 miles from Rome. So they begin to make their trek on foot. And as they're doing this, Christians begin to come and greet them. It says right here that they were met by some of the brethren. This is a great word in the Greek, to meet. It only appears in three other verses in all of the New Testament. It's an extremely unique word. And it's the word that the Holy Spirit, by the way, who wrote the Bible, selected to use for Paul's coming in the area. This word meet means to issue forth like a river. It means to receive a victorious general returning from a battle. Remember when Schwarzkopf and Powell and those guys came home from Desert Storm? They had the incredible parade. I think it was in New York or D.C. It would be like that. It's to welcome a conquering general. But Paul had never been there before. About 3 years earlier, he had penned the book of Romans to them, mailed it to them, but he had never been there. And here's the interesting thing. The church, nobody knows how the church in Rome ever got started. We don't know this to this very day. Now, I don't want to upset anybody when I tell you this, but I'm telling you the gospel truth and historical fact. You might say, Jack, are you a knucklehead? The Catholic Church started the church at Rome. That's not true. Peter did. That's not true. Paul was the first apostle to show up. Peter came after Paul, but a church was already established. Not only that, there were several churches established, and they were strong and healthy. It wasn't established by Peter, wasn't established by Paul or Mary. It wasn't established by any of them. And I don't say that to upset you. It's just a fact. To this day, historians and Christian theologians do not know how the church in Rome ever got started. It's possible that on the day of Pentecost, people went back to Rome and were converted and brought the gospel to that area. We don't know. But what's interesting to me is Paul was the apostle to present the gospel to the Gentile world. And I love this, you guys. He shows up on his way to Rome and people are coming to greet him. Not only that, they couldn't wait. The very gospel that Paul promoted beat him to Rome. I like that. I absolutely adore that. The gospel will always beat us somewhere. Always. I don't care where you go in the world. God will have Christians there. I don't know when this is supposed to happen, but I'm supposed to be going to Bombay, India. I've been invited to Bombay, India to speak to a bunch of missionaries concerning the gospel. And I thought, there's no way. What are they asking me to do this for? And I couldn't believe, well, you know what happened? We were in Russia on our last trip on the streets preaching the gospel, and some guy happened to come by, got our name and address, and said, I want this to be done in Bombay, India. Well, I never talked to the guy. And God opened the door. And the funny thing is, I'm thinking, well, Bombay, India. What's in India? Only one of the largest gatherings of Christians in the world. Amazing. I don't care where you go, man. You're going to find a Christian. If you think you're alone next time, oh, I think I'm alone. I think I've been abandoned. Just happen to ask somebody walking by, Christian. Somebody's going to say, yeah, you bet, brother, what's going on? You look alone. It doesn't matter where you go. I think I told you we were in Germany getting a connecting flight. We only had a 45-minute layover. And you know what happened? The plane that we were scheduled to be on hadn't even cleared the coast of New York. And we were a 6.5-hour delay. And so you sit there, and there's nobody around. And I thought, well, you know what? This is a great Bible time. Open up my Bible, I'm reading, and this one guy comes by and goes, praise the Lord, brother! Said, man! Gave me his card, praise the Lord. It's like, oh, you know, hold me. You know? It doesn't matter where you go. Paul's showing up, and these people are coming. And they're coming to greet him. But three places in the scripture where this word appears. Very unique word, to greet, like a river issuing forth, to meet. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, Jesus used it. Jesus said in the parable, he said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. He's talking about the return of the Lord, telling us that we need to be ready. But the word meet right here is to receive a conquering general. That's how Christ refers to himself. Isn't that interesting? Same parable, Matthew 25:6. Jesus used the word again. He says, by the way, at midnight a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet your conquering general. Then the final place it's used is in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, one of our favorite verses, where Paul the Apostle there says to the church at Thessalonians, then we who are alive and remain shall be raptured, caught up, harpazo, together with them in the clouds to receive our conquering general in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that great news? So all these people are coming out. Little Paul walking down the path. Can you imagine? Somebody might have said, hey, Paul, there's a river of people flowing out, coming down the path, heading right in our direction to greet you. Now, you've got to remember Paul's life. This guy had been misunderstood, beaten, slandered, accused, arrested, stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked, waterlogged, and snake bitten all his life. Paul, there's a river of people flowing out of the city coming our way, coming right for us to greet you. Paul probably said, oh, yeah, well, they're coming to beat me, huh? No, we said greet you. Oh, you sure? I thought you said beat me. They're coming to beat me. No, they're coming to greet you. Oh, yeah, right. We'll see. Can you imagine? He's always been asked to get out of the city. Get out of here. Opens his mouth. Get out of here. Paul, there's a river of people flowing out of the city coming to greet you. Now, I don't know about you, but you got to put yourself in his sandals. That's got to be pretty encouraging. They're coming to greet me. First of all, they've been shipwrecked for 3 months. Nobody, there was no, there's no thing on the TV screen. You know, ship 39 now arriving, dock 4. They didn't know. But somebody ran ahead and obviously gave news to the city. He's here. The man that we love and read and can't wait to see, he's here. So little Paul is there. And he's going to be greeted. And look what happens here in verse 16. It says that Paul saw them. That when he saw them, this word saw in the Greek means three progressive steps. Watch this. It means that he first saw them and made a consideration in his mind. Yeah, I see him. What could this mean? Second, the word means to become knowledgeable of. They're coming to greet me? No kidding. The third thing is he understood. It means to see with understanding, to see with consideration, to see with knowledge, to see with understanding. The moment it clicked in Paul's heart, they want me? They want to meet me? They're coming out, listen, some of them 45 miles away from their town to see me? That's quite a commitment. It says in verse 15 that he thanked God and took courage. Last Sunday night, if you were here, by the way, thank you for coming. The place was packed. Marty Goetz, we're still flying high from that night. Awesome. There's nothing like a born-again Jew who's filled with the Holy Spirit. I was so jealous of his relationship with God. I mean, he ordered, you know, a meal at Mimi's, and it was anointed. It was just, you know, God was blessed when he ordered his salad. It was like, oh. Loves God. Very passionate. He's playing and we're worshiping and he just kind of stops and he's like praising God. He's like, gosh, he's doing this right in front of us. That's exactly the word here when Paul gave thanks. It's to be affected within the heart to the point where it actually alters your outward appearance. In other words, what's insinuated here is that Paul's kind of walking along. Well, I don't know. And do you know what that reminds me of? Have you ever felt like that? Probably not. I think I feel like that for you. I began to think about this and what's implied here. Have you ever seen guys at the marathon race? Have you ever maybe used to run long distance in school? And, you know, the start is great. Everybody's there. Gun goes off. Oh, man, go, buddy. Come on, Craig. Go for it. And you're like, I got it. It's easy to start the race.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called From Rome to Home, a look at how Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, spent the last 2 years of his life here on earth while in this metropolis awaiting his eventual execution. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of which, if you wish to hear this fascinating series in the book of Acts, which largely speaks of the infancy of the church, starting from chapter 1, we've made it simple. We've condensed the entirety all onto one MP3 CD. So, as is often the case, our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Here's our phone number. By the way, it's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name. The MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.